Padumna.
While Archie and Betsy retreat to their little gazebo to decide our fates, Melanie instructs us to line up in front of the judging table. It's been like this every day, and I've never quite gotten used to it. You'd think they could give us a chair to sit on or something. It has always felt a bit odd and punitive to have to just stand here, as though we are awaiting something awful like a firing squad. Melanie shuffles us around, sandwiching me between Hannah and Stella and putting Lottie on the far end. Next to me, Hannah shifts uncomfortably, biting at her fingernails. It's annoying me and I'm tempted to grab her arm and tell her to stop. Stella looks equally tense, her arms crossed tightly around herself. Of the four of us, only Lottie looks excited. She leans back behind Stella and gives me a look. Her eyes are shining, exhilarated. I smile back at her. Even if Betsy's reaction hadn't gone the way she'd hoped, it was good Lottie had done this and made herself known. Besides, Archie had loved the cake. I honestly can't wait to try a bite. Stella also did well today. I'm happy for her. She needed this. Hannah, on the other hand, I can't help but have a tiny seed of satisfaction at her lackluster performance. I'm sure that puts her and me in the bottom two. The golden girl herself, down at the bottom of the pile. I've resigned myself to leave if I must. Of course, I'd love to stay and help Lottie out, but I know that I did not bake something so incredible that I deserve to be saved today. I've found my salvation in other ways during this time. This experience with Lottie, it's given me a new perspective on life. I've uncovered part of myself that I always hoped was there, but was afraid to try and access in case it wasn't. Being vulnerable has made me feel braver than any sort of cheap thrill I've experienced, and I'm interested in exploring it even more. I've decided that I don't want to drink for a while when I go home. I don't want to be numb anymore. The camera operators return to the tent, taking their places next to their equipment. Melanie comes by and gives us one last look over, nudging me an inch to the left, before retreating off to the side. The lights come back on, shining at the entryway to the tent where Archie and Betsy emerge. They stand facing us, their faces plastered with good cheer.
"Well, we certainly had a lot to discuss," Betsy begins. "But in the end, it was obvious the best baking today was from Stella."
Next to me, I feel Stella's body collapse a bit with shock or relief.
"Thank you,"
she murmurs. Betsy continues.
"And though we would love to keep you all and just keep doing this forever, you all know this is a competition, and someone has to leave us today."
"The baker going home today is,"
Archie begins, his voice filled with regret. I brace myself, smiling for the cameras to let them know I'm ready. Archie pauses, and his eyes flick to Betsy before he turns them back to us. "Lottie." I should have expected it with the way Betsy stormed off after taking a bite, but I am still shocked when her name is called. The others are as well. I see their eyes widen in surprise. I shake my head, clearing my ears for a correction. There's been some sort of mistake. Lottie doesn't deserve to go home.
"I'm truly sorry, Lottie. You're a great baker," Archie says, looking back at Betsy.
I watch something unspoken pass between them. But before I can sort it out, they are blocked by cameras as everyone crowds around Lottie, hugging her and saying their goodbyes. I hold back, numb. This is odd. Lottie's cake was perfectly baked. I thought it would be Hannah to get the boot today. I wish it were the case. Lottie and I had so much more to do here. I guess I was being naive, thinking that I could just go on playing my little sleuthing game indefinitely. I catch a glimpse of Hannah cooing over Lottie. It's for the cameras, no doubt. I've never seen Hannah so much as say hello to her the past few days. I get a pang of recognition remembering the legs protruding from Archie's sheets this morning.
"There's a reason for her stay a bit longer, isn't there?" I think bitterly. I'm comforted by the idea that someone like Archie won't let her win now. If a relationship of any sort ever came out, it would look far too bad for him giving preferential treatment to the winner. Later, I open a bottle of Chenin Blanc in the library. I've drunk my way through most of the best bottles of wine by now, I realize with just the tiniest bit of embarrassment. I bring the open bottle to the sofa and sit down next to Lottie, propping my feet up on the coffee table. My mood is turned, and I feel morose.
I wish there was something more I could do. A way to make her stay. She eyes the wine glass in my hand.
I thought maybe the cake would jog her memory. But nothing.
Lottie sighs. She really hated that cake, I say. She jabs me playfully in the side with her elbow.
Maybe I made it wrong.
Lottie shrugs sadly.
I had never baked it before. Just followed the recipe the best I could. One of the measurements could have been off.
I doubt that. Your mother seems like she was quite particular with her note-taking. Lottie nods.
Oh! I had a memory while I was baking today. I think my mother was afraid of Richard Grafton.
I perk up.
And? And what?
Do you think he could have, you know, done something? Maybe his wife had found out and he had to silence Agnes? Lottie considers it.
It is so odd. I can't imagine it. He was such a genteel-seeming man. Though I suppose anything is possible. I could never have imagined my mother hanging any sort of romance with him until now either.
We sip our wine, and I rack my brain for a way to resolve everything before she leaves in the morning. Lottie's time has run out. She'd have to do something tonight, or this whole experience, all those years of practice and waiting, will have been for nothing.
Why don't you just tell Betsy who you are? Explain the situation. You have nothing to lose, really, at this point. Maybe she would help you.
She looks at me like I've lost my mind. But then she sits back, exhales slowly.
Fear, I guess.
She presses her thumbs into her eyes for a moment, exhausted.
I'm afraid she won't recognize me, or even remember me when I tell her who I am.
She looks at me and laughs hollowly.
I must still care what she thinks of me after all these years. How dumb is that? She was such a big part of my childhood, and then growing up watching her on TV every week. The last time she saw me, I was an 11-year-old. Why would she remember me?
I set my wine glass on the end table and turned to face her. But you're going to have to face your fears if you want to put this to rest. I reach out and touch her arm.
You can't carry this back home with you.
Her hand, cold and smooth, lands on top of mine.
How did you get so wise?
She laughs. I didn't. I just mimic smart people.
Well, I'm going to go pack, I suppose.
She hoists herself from the couch with some effort. I watch her thin form, robed in one of her signature bulky cardigans, heading toward the door, and I'm filled with a deep sadness.
Lottie?
I call after her. I'm about to say that I'll help, that I'll continue her search once she's left, that I won't stop until I've found out what happened to Agnes. But my confidence wavers, and I wonder if I would be of any real use. I picture her back in Rhode Island in a small house filled with knickknacks, her daughter stopping by for cookies and tea. It's such a cozy image that it makes me a bit jealous. Me? The young millionaire jealous of a poor septuagenarian? But it's true. I am. The mystery of her mother may never be solved. But ultimately Lottie will be fine, I realize. Because she has her whole life to return to. But what am I going back to after this? Even if I did manage to win the golden spoon, what will that mean? A gleaming, empty apartment full of designer furniture and expensive gadgets that make my life easier. But easier for what? What do I have to save time for? More relationships with women who drive me crazy and who I have no interest in? Who I will eventually disappoint in one way or another? Never mind. I'll say goodbye in the morning, I say gruffly. I clear my throat and turn my attention to a book on the coffee table. Beautiful brulees. The pictures blur in front of me. For the first time in years, decades maybe, I feel as though I'm about to cry. I'll miss Bake Week when it's over, but not because of the baking. The real honor of this experience has been trying to help Lottie sort out what happened to her mother. I only wish I could have had more time. I wish I could have actually helped. The clock on the mantel says 5:15 p.m. I realize there is not much else I can do. A dark pit forms inside me.
the familiar feeling returning stronger than ever, threatening to swallow me up.